So we're called to be disciples and men of God. I believe that that requires loyalty to God, and it's expressly laid out by God's most important commandment from Mark 12, 30 through 31, which we covered earlier. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. If our loyalty lies with God, this will start to shape the loyalty throughout the rest of our family and without the, through other areas and aspects of our life. And so the Holy Spirit will work through us in the sanctification process, where we start to produce fruit and we become the men that would be worthy of a spouse's love, of a child's affection. So, step two, underneath God being number one in this Christian hierarchy of needs, is your spouse, husbands and wives. This will require loyalty to our wives or husbands for you women. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." I'm in the dating scene. Y'all pray for me, please. Right? I heard somebody say the other day that dating in your 40s is like trying to find something at a thrift store that doesn't smell. I was like, nailed it. The least damaged thing at a thrift store that doesn't smell, I think, is how they actually the saying went. But it was pretty on. It's pretty on point. But I always hear, and I've tried my I tried eHarmony once, and I'm being transparent now too. So yeah, laugh it up. I thought, well, I've been praying, God, but you know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and take this in my hands because I know you're busy. So let me see if I can help you along, and I'll try eHarmony. Train wreck. And so I, you know, and this was like last summer, and I'll never do that again. But anyway, it was, you know, all of the, like the little paragraph underneath their profile picture says, you know, God, and then my kids are my world. And then they don't live a life that follows that. They're like, it's all about them. Yeah, it's a front. God's not first in their lives. Or their kids are... people in the dating scene have this... or not in the dating scene. In the dating scene, I understand where that should rank. But once you become married, the biblical design of a family is it's God first and then your spouse and then your kids. If you're and that includes mixed children. So like if you're getting together at my age, it's going to be hard to find a woman that's never had kids. And I'm not dating a 20-year-old. So, if you are in a mixed family, you as a male, I have to be understanding that her kids should come first and that I shouldn't be introduced to them prematurely. Mm-hmm. But if you're courting a woman properly, and I mean courting, like getting to know that person, not in the sheet, not between the sheets. And I don't care if that offends people. People, you need to hear this. Mm-hmm. This is important. If you get to know someone and you get to know their children and you develop that relationship and you marry that woman, all of a sudden that woman becomes priority two behind Jesus in your life, ahead of your own kids from your previous marriage. And she needs to love you and honor you as you, as the husband and the head of the household, ahead of her kids. And then your kids and her kids need to be on equal playing fields. Mm-hmm. No favoritism. And then any decision that's made in terms of discipline or direction or teaching of that family, her kids or your kids, needs to come from the two of you and be biblically based. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not a child therapist, but you can write that down. yeah, there you go. Mic drop. Because I see it. I'm preaching to myself, folks, so feel free to pick me apart. But I've done it wrong for so many years, and I've done it non-biblically, whether jumping into a relationship where it wasn't based on God, where it was based on sex, or whether there were kids involved, and you can hurt people and hurt feelings if you don't honor the fact that we have a big calling. Like if I become a husband to a wife that has kids, they might not have a fatherly figure. They're going to be looking to me to lead the family in a biblical manner. And they're going to be looking to me. Am I leading like Jesus? Am I a servant leader with a heart of humility and compassion? Or am I just sitting there I'm just there to hook up with mom? I mean, that's not very smooth. I'm not as polished as like Pastor Akins and Pastor Shepherd and stuff, or Pastor West. But I have to call it like I see it.
Yeah.
And men need to start being men of God.
Amen.
Me included. There's areas in my life that I still need to shore up, tighten up. And maybe that's why I'm still single, because God knows that I'm still broken in certain areas and that I need to get my crap together before he blesses me with a wife and a family again. So, yeah. If I point at you, I got three fingers pointing back at me, kind of thing. Well, then that touches on step three, the kids. Third place is our children. We must be loyal parents to raising our children in a godly environment and setting a godly example so that they can experience their own calling of God on their lives. Because if we're setting the example, it says, you know, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. And so I take that as an honor. When I was a captain in the Army, or whether I'm in a leadership position within my company or a manager, or if I'm just dad, that's a big honor. And I need to lead like Jesus. I need to have a servant's heart. I need to be in tune with the people that I'm leading, and I need to do it from a posture of humility. And I still have a command presence. What I say goes, but at the end of the day, I'm there to make sure that we all move in a common direction, and that's got to be based on Jesus. And then four, the last, is jobs, friends, hobbies. I mean, this list can be in different order. But Ephesians 6:5-8 says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, and with good will render services to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good thing each does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all slaves. We're all bond servants, because we go and we do a job for a wage. And that's how we pay our bills and how we put food on the table for our kids, buy groceries, etc. And so, you know, God, spouse, kids, and then work. And in that order, the way God intended, and it will drastically improve your life. I mean, be loyal to God, pattern that loyalty after the character qualities that are Christ-like in the remaining areas of your life, and exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, and it will drastically improve the trajectory of your life spiritually and physically here while we're still on this rock. Mm-hmm. And that is my sermon on loyalty.
You did good, brother.
Well, thanks.
So...
Oh, yeah, we usually have a break where we take prayer requests. I was looking at the clock. I thought, well, maybe...
We didn't have any that came in this morning.
Oh, okay.
However, Cammie.
Hutcherson.
Uh-huh. Said hi, Travis.
I know Cammie.
Yeah.
From Weatherford.
Well, she said hi. Thank you for tuning in this morning.
Yeah.
So if we can...
That's wild, because there are so many of my friends... that I hope that they see this, because there were so many years that I was such a train wreck, like out at Cowboys and from bartending in the city and just being a mess and like 180 degrees opposite of who I am or what I am now, you know, a child of God, a minister of the word. So I'm glad that people from my past, I mean, she was always wonderful. She was always a close friend of me, and she never judged me whether I was an idiot or whether I was a Christian. So, I'm thankful for friends like Cammie.
Amen. Cammie's my husband's cousin.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah.
Okay. Right on.
Okay. Cool. Still.
Oh. Well, she could probably attest to some of the stories from back in the day when I worked at Cowboys.
Just to save you some trouble, don't do the Facebook dating.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook has a dating site.
Yeah, they do.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
It's on, what is it, pause? Is that how you do it? Or set it to break?
Yeah, don't do it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to share one of my little stories.
Sponsor break real quick.
Yeah, we can do that.
Do you want me to announce heart to heart?
Do you want me to do that one?
And I've got a little praise report.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, I've already covered it with y'all. I'm just going to share with the world.
Okay, go ahead. You can do that before we...
Are we still live?
Announcements. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're still on.
Well, I know that we were talking about prayer requests and praise reports. Mm-hmm. A pastor within the Assemblies of God recently lost his mother. I'm not going to say their name, but prayers for him and his family. He was actually one of the first churches I went to after I was leaving Teen Challenge on my path to becoming a minister. A wonderful family. And, you know, the DUI charge that I got, it was dropped completely. So, for the world, I'm no longer a felon or pending a felony charge. Yeah, I've got my daughter this summer. She's going to be out at the farm. And that's a miracle in itself. Me and my ex-wife, her mother, are getting along splendidly. And all I had to do was stop drinking. I just had to get out of my own way. And that, I mean, it's crazy. You relinquish the crown of your own life and get out of your way and humble yourself. And God had a hand in humbling me because he allowed a lot of bad, bad things to happen to me in a very short period. But the crazy thing about that is the restoration that has happened in the last year. Like financially, God has given me an opportunity to completely get out of the hole that I dug myself in. And if I threw out a number of where I was a year ago to where I'm now, it would blow you ladies' minds. Like God is so good. Unreal. And then, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, getting accepted into the MBA program. I've got an interview this Thursday with the acceptance board at OU, and I've already been accepted to MacU to finish my MBA. And I shouldn't even say finish my MBA. I went to school, grad school, back in 2011 and started that journey. And then due to losing my job, and I took a different job in West Texas, I moved out and I never went back and finished it. And so like this 12 to 14 hours that I had towards my MBA, since I've been out of school 5 years, they don't count anymore. And so basically I'm starting over from scratch, but what a blessing, because in college I made great grades because I'd show up to class, whether I was drunk or not. God had given me the ability that I could hear a lecture and memorize it and just know it. And I go ace a test and then I would brain dump it and go on to the next one. And whereas like this, like going through this class and becoming a minister, like studying these books, I'm wanting to know how to apply it.
Right.
Like application. I'm not just brain dumping this. And I want to do that same thing with the MBA program, is that I truly want to get, when I get completed with this, I want to be able to apply these business principles to actually increase, I don't know, just to, I want to be able to apply it is what I'm getting at. Mm. So anyway, that's my praise report.
Praise the Lord.
God's doing a lot.
Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak blessings over Travis. We thank you. We thank you that you are his Lord, his Savior, and his Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you continue to lead, guide, and direct. We ask that you just fill him with blessings, Lord, to where no one can deny that it was you working on his behalf, for his behalf, and through him. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center is doing a baby bottle boomerang challenge. You can contact them. They will give you this baby bottle. You take it, you set it up at your house, your church, your business, and then you fill it with change, dollar bills, or checks, and then you toss it back just gently, you know, kind of just to, you know, hand it back to them. Your change can help change lives. You can go by 500 South Lusk here in Elk City to grab one of those baby bottles, or you can call 580-243-2229. And if you just would like to donate to their cause, you can send it to P.O. Box 2122, Elk City, Oklahoma, 73648. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. And our sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier. We hope today...
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Travis M. Bowden. His title, Where Does Your Loyalty Lie? Back to you.
Back to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I thought I had covered everything. For those that are just tuning in, where does your loyalty lie? Does it lie in comfort and luxury, or does it lie with the Lord and the calling on your life? And we covered Webster's definition of loyalty. We covered the Army's definition of loyalty. And this is the L in the acronym LEADERSHIP, LDRSHIP, which make up the 7 Army values, which is something that I had grasped onto whenever I was in the Army. And had tried to live my military life by those. And then I used to say, well, I also pattern my civilian life after those, but that was all hogwash. It was just something I would say at parties to make myself sound cool, like I was still living some kind of honorable life from the military. And in reality, I was just a mess. But anyway, there are those 7 Army values, our character qualities that are something worth striving towards. And there are tons and tons of examples in the Bible of loyalty that we covered today. And, you know, bearing true faith and allegiance is a matter of believing in and devoting yourself to something or someone. And so we talked about Old Testament and New Testament examples of loyalty and or the lack thereof. And then the call to action was there is a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy. You noticed it in the Army's definition where it said bear true faith and allegiance to first the U.S. Constitution, then the Army, then your unit, and then to other soldiers. And we basically, that's an example or a pattern following after the Bible and the Bible's hierarchy of importance. And so my call to action was, first of all, first and foremost, you have to be loyal to Jesus. He is the one that died on the cross for your sins. It's his blood that covers you and provides forgiveness for sin and allows us to be children of God and to commune with him and allows us to make it to heaven. And so, first and foremost, call to action, be loyal to God. Second, be loyal to your wife or your husband. Be loyal to your spouse, ahead of your kids, and don't allow Satan to drive a toehold or a stronghold wedge into your marriage by pitting children from her previous marriage or children from your previous marriage, and to cause division and dissension amongst that. You need to make sure that if you guys come together in the name of Jesus and you pray together and you read your Bible together and you study together and all your decisions made for your family come from a position of scripture and trust and communion together, then it'll create a bond that won't allow Satan to get in there and destroy your family. And then third is your kids. Put your kids right below your wife. Your kids, you need to be an example, a godly father or a godly mother that prays for your children with your children. Don't just pray for your children behind closed doors. Pray for your meals. Pray for them for their school. Be involved. Be present. Be engaged. Be a father to your children, men. You know, be a loyal disciple to Jesus. Then use that example and Jesus' example of being a servant leader or a humble servant, and be a leader to your wife, and then be a father to your kids, and then the rest of it, friends, jobs, hobbies, etc. That's a good way to pattern your life, and that's all I've got today.
Amazing. Great food. We appreciate you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to practice preaching, because I do know that at some point I'm probably going to be teaching a youth group or doing more pulpit preaching, you know. And if I was up walking around, I might get more fired up. So, but this is good. This is giving me getting me a chance to become more comfortable with sharing God's word, and because I know that there's going to be distractions and one of these days when I start preaching, but. This is good. I love this
safe
practice.
Safe place to transition and make adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I need to get down to the ranch and preach more often down there, see my brothers that are going through the program.
Mandy Wagner, one of the listeners, said that she has been to Teen Challenge.
Awesome. So she knows what I'm talking about whenever I was talking about those CQs, the dreaded CQs. There's one of them that was the worst. It was wisdom, because it – when you get in trouble and you break the law, or the law, when you break the rules at Teen Challenge, we had to write CQs at Sunrise Ranch. And it was like, you know, 25 CQs over like wisdom, or there were several different ones. And so wisdom was the worst one. That's the one that always sticks out in my mind, because the definition was like that long. And then there was an opposite that was almost a paragraph. And then there was like, there was 9 examples, and then there were 2 scriptures. And so it's like 3/4 of a page. Oh, wow. And so you would have like a 50 piece of wisdom would take you a week to write, because you don't get to just stop what you're doing at Teen Challenge. You don't get to stop going to chapel or to your daily vocation or to any of the other responsibilities you have as a student there. You got to do this on your own time. Which means you don't get to go on break. You don't get to watch movies on Saturday night or Friday night. You don't get to watch sporting events on – you get one sporting event on Saturday and one on Sunday. But you basically, your head's in a book and you're writing. And so you get an intimate knowledge of the scriptures that are associated with wisdom and the definition and the opposite of that definition. And so, yeah, if she's been through Teen Challenge, she knows what CQs are, character qualities, and writing them.
Your willingness to come this morning, and absolutely. I will get with you. I will, whenever we get the new calendars, I will get them
and sounds good.
Get you a picture so that you can let us know when you can come back.
Absolutely, because so this was loyalty, which is the first of 7. Next is D, which stands for duty. And so my next sermon will be about duty, and I'll come up with a title and I'll start building that sermon next.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again, the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, from my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and from our brother in Christ, Travis Imboden, y'all have a good day, and we'll see you next time.
This edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app, where you'll find The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.